your say. 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cans. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Now, I just want to revisit this cashless society business. Wow, the headline reads, Rage Against the Machine. Residents rally against council cashless decision. I wonder if the council just completely misread the public feeling about cash transactions. They want them maintained, and they probably, I presume, see it very much as a federal matter anyway. Why the hell is the council intervening? Don't know. Isaac McCarthy writes, today a battalion of Cairns residents have railed against council's move to abandon cash transactions at some of its facilities and have begun a petition to reverse the decision. Cairns Council began transitioning some of its facilities, like libraries, transfer stations and CPAC, to exclusive cashless transactions. One citizen taped cash, there's a photo of it, to refuse before dumping it at the front of the transfer station. Look, I won't go on with all that. We had that discussion a bit earlier on. But it's interesting to read here. There's thousands of signatures, apparently, on these petitions. Division 9 Councillor Brett Olds said, council's decision to transfer to cashless was operational and not voted on by councillors. How does that happen? We've had a call since then saying this happens from time to time. About time it's been exposed, because it makes people very uncomfortable that council officers make these decisions, not the people that they voted in to make the decisions. Brett Olds is on the line, the Division 9 councillor. Hello, Brett.
G'day, mate. It is a bit rough, isn't it?
Well, people that see you're onto something here. I mean, we go out of our way to vote in a team of people we trust to make these decisions in our interests. If the decisions are being made by people fundamentally nameless, faceless, they're quite uncomfortable.
It's 100% accurate. I've had so many people come up to me since this has come up, and again with the tenant tax, the non-principal place of residency
stuff.
That was another one that was handled kind of poorly by the executives as well. But with the information getting out there poorly to the community, the community's come out and said, why do we bother having councillors? Because the only way they get their democratic representation or their social inclusion is through the 10 of us, the mayor and the 9 councillors, right? And that's every region. And you can hold us accountable. That's how democracy is supposed to work. Mm. Hey, guys, we're going to vote you in and trust you with our money to fix the roads, you know, this and that, and then make some decisions. And sometimes decisions are hard, and you're never going to please everyone. But it bewilders me. It just beggars belief. I couldn't understand why the CEO would want to put herself in that position where she's making, like, the community. None of the community knew. Us councillors didn't know. The only reason we found out that we stopped receiving cash, and I've got the email saved when I first found out, I had people attacking me, hey, what the hell are you guys nitwits doing? And so I sent an email off and got the response, and then I blew up at the next workshop, and the other councillors weren't aware of it either, that this decision had got made. So
exactly.
It's not the way it's supposed to work, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of other people, they're a bit jack of governments telling them, just dictating to them all the time.
Yes.
How about we consult with the public, the people that pay our wages, the people that pay for these essential services? They pay for the buildings. They pay for all the equipment at the transfer stations, at the Cairns Performing Arts Centre, at the tanks, at the libraries. And I'm like, how about we consult with them and let them know? And I haven't had too many people come back and say, no, we disagree. We think we should go totally cashless, because the ones who want to pay with card, guess what? They still can.
Yeah.
They can still pay with their card. But
exactly.
A lot of people, you know, I just think we need to, at least even if they didn't want to consult with them, at least notify them, because none of them knew. I'm still out there last week talking to people, and they're saying, what the hell?
Yeah.
I didn't know this, because not everyone goes to transfer station every week. Some people do it once or twice a year, and they haven't been yet and realised.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to choice. Why are we taking someone's choice away? As you said, It's legal tender. Now, we did get the CEO came back and said, oh, look, legally, we can choose to accept or put away what we don't want. We can say we want cash only, want card only, or whatever. With a private business, I have no problem. Private business can choose to accept whatever they want or don't want. But with a council or any government level, we have essential services. We've got a monopoly, basically. If you want to get a transfer station, you have to come through us.
Mm.
And it's like, we shouldn't be taking people's choice away when the federal government says this is legal tender. And
yeah.
I... I think they've got over three. I got a call this morning. I think they've got over 3,000 signatures already, which is more than that tenant tax petition had. Mm. And then we know how outraged people were about that. Mm. So we're going to, I think by the time we get to vote for this, you're going to find there'll be a couple thousand more people. And, and most people don't like signing petitions. So to get that number so quickly just shows there's a huge dissatisfaction out there. And we can fix it. Mm. We can fix this mistake and let it be voted on. And if it gets voted up and it stays that way, at least it was democratically done. And then the next election, if people feel really hard done by it, they can vote those people out that they don't want. So that's how it's supposed to work anyway.
Funny, you know, Brett, how talkback radio works sometimes, particularly when you've got the council segment on Fridays. The mayor was in, and just Bill or Gary or whoever it was came up on the screen. Oh, cashless situation down at, I think it was the buyback shop or something or other. And it just came through, and people may have thought, what's this bloke talking about? Oh, cashless? What's he talking about? That can't be the case. I haven't been to the buyback shop or to the tip or whatever for 2 or 3 years. But surely, and suddenly it just went like wildfire throughout Cairns. This gentleman had come on the talk show and said, guess what? You're not going to be able to do your transactions at the tip with cash anymore. And, of course, then we found out it was across various other aspects of council operations as well. So it spread like wildfire over a couple of weeks. And now, as you point out, there's thousands of people signing a petition saying, reverse this decision.
No, that's right. The words got out, and it was your show that day when he called in.
Yeah.
That I was talking to the mayor, because I brought up at a couple of workshops and I found out, and only one or two other councillors were kind of as angry as I was about it. Because my son couldn't even get a hot chocolate at the library because he didn't have a card and he was 13. But when I found out, I was kind of livid, and I said, "Well, how can you just make these decisions?" And but then I didn't think about raising it as a general business item because I didn't think I had the support. I didn't want to be tokenistic and just throw darts for no reason. But then when I heard your show, and I heard, well, Terry James actually told me about it, when I went back and heard the mayor's comments, he kind of said, well, I'm against that. That's not a good policy. And it gave me this little creek of sunlight. And so that very next Wednesday, that was on a Friday, the very next Wednesday at our meeting, I brought up the general business item. And I said, hey, because of your comments, Mr. Mayor, I back you on this. I think we need to reverse it. And and then this big debate happened on the floor and no one wanted to vote on it. And I kept pushing, saying, you bastard, you vote on this. And they end up saying, we'll have a workshop. And I said, I've already asked for a workshop twice, guys. You're kicking the can down the road. But anyway, they got their way. I didn't have to, but I retracted the motion and I said, look, I'm happy. Let's talk about it further so we can get all the information. But it was a bit sad that I had to take it to a general business motion because that's what I thought would happen at a workshop in the first instance. So I'm glad the community's got behind it because I see this as a much bigger issue. Some people say, oh, it's just simple. The world's going that way. Let's just do it. And we don't have to fast forward things. If the federal government wants to get rid of cash in 2 months, in 2 years, or whatever, so be it. Mm. But why are we stepping in front of it? And when I said it in the meeting, it's a bit of a discriminatory policy because you've got beggars out there, you got buskers, you got kids, you got old people. I mean, and you got other people that just want to use cash because they don't want to be charged bank fees every time they use their card. And what happens when the power goes out? Mm. We get cyclones up here, and everyone just gets to use it for free. Mm. I don't know. So I was kind of a bit passionate about that and impassioned about it. And I'm really glad to see that the signature's coming on. And I'm probably going to get a few dirty stares when I go to work during the week. but I don't care. It's like I'm not there to work for the people at council. I'm there to work for the people at Cairns, you know.
So. Don't go away. Peter Carruthers writes, and this is a matter of real concern in the Cairns Post today, groups of teens stealing, threatening other children, and intimidating council staff has resulted in the hiring of security guards to patrol 4 Cairns libraries on an ongoing basis. Now, we're talking about these kids are 12 to 15 years of age, according to this. The same group understood to have intimidated staff at the Cairns council-operated Smithfield Library, a security guard employed by Heightened Security Solutions at his new post outside the Smithfield Library, alleged a group of Smithfield State High School students whose campus neighbours the library were behind the antisocial behaviour. It goes on to say, this is the quote, actually, from Destry Puia from the Council Lifestyle Community, etc. Following careful consideration of incidents of antisocial behaviour, Council has engaged contractors to provide security at the City, the Earlville, the Monunda and the Smithfield Libraries on an ongoing basis. Now, Cathy Zyger, to her credit, rang through with this about, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday last week, And this took my breath away. I know the appalling behaviour we're enduring is just never, it's unprecedented. But these are kids of 12 to 15 causing havoc in our libraries where people go to study and concentrate. The quiet, and for them, for some people, they get those little booths and it's virtual solitude, so they can really achieve so much. Suddenly these kids are tearing the places apart. What's going on with our city?
Isn't it a great picture of the indictment right now of our social fabric just being torn apart?
Yes.
Going to a library and seeing security guards. Now, we only heard about it after it happened as well, because I guess... But I can only talk about Smithfield because I know about that library more. Those kids that are doing it, I've got three of their names. We know exactly who they are. I've got photos of them. I've had so many members of the community in the last 2 weeks contacting me, and these same kids' names keep popping up. Now, a couple are from Smithfield High School, a couple are from Red Lynch, and I think there's even one Trinity Beach student there. I've talked to both the principals of Trinity Beach Primary School and the Smithfield High School. What two of the kids have already suspended from the Smithfield High School, but they still wear their Smithfield shirts around during the day.
Mm.
They're bashing up kids. They're robbing, stealing their fishing rods, stealing their bikes. Parents are, you know, not happy. Principals have contacted the police, and one of the principals actually asked the police and said, hey, can't you just go around to these kids' homes? Because you know they are here. Here's their names, here's photos of doing stuff.
Yeah.
And just put the fear of God in them, like it used to happen back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
If you played up, which I didn't, but if you did, I had other mates that did. The cops would turn up to their parents' house and let them know, hey, this and that, and then the parents would, you know, give them a flogging or spank them or give them a timeout, whatever their punishment was.
Mm.
But no, the police said, no, we don't do that. And so it's really hard. So we're probably going to have a community meeting out here because of all this. It's not just three kids doing all the crime, but these three, or sometimes they're a group of six or seven, but the three names I have, they pop up in every single time in the last 3 weeks there's been an issue.
Mm.
Those names pop up. Everyone knows who they are. The principal feels hamstrung because he can't do anything because they're already suspended from the school. They're not doing these acts on the school property. And the police know who they are and can't do anything about it. I'm like, well, wait a second. Because I guarantee you, if I went out there, or some other parent did, and I can promise this happened because one of the kids, his younger brother got beat up. He was at school, he's in year 12. He saw one of these kids a few days later before he got suspended. And he slapped him in the face. Boom. He goes, you messed my kid again. You're going to cop it more than that.
Yeah.
And then he got suspended. So if that kid, in a couple of days later, I shouldn't be telling these stories, but he was driving home. He saw one of the other kids at the bus stop. He pulled over and went and gave him a flog and touched him up and then went home. Then he got a visit from the police.
Oh, no. Jesus.
This is true. But the parent called me and said, how come the police are coming down on my son for standing up for his younger brother?
Mm.
Well, how come the police aren't coming down on these kids 24/7?
Yeah, exactly.
They're coming down, you know, as soon as there's vigilante behaviour, the police will come down on the vigilante with the full force of the law.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why aren't they using the full force of the law right now to come down on these little... So I want to swear on your radio program, but these little so-and-sos, you know, these ne'er-do-wells, I just don't understand. And I know a lot of the police officers out here, they do a good job. They know who these kids are. They know where they live. But a lot of the time, they can't do anything because the magistrates just, it's that revolving door.
Oh, exactly.
And then you get the government. They set the agenda. They set the mandates. The whole Juvenile Justice Act needs a complete overhaul. Mm. And I think the polling must be suggesting that, you know, this is making the government unpopular because Anastasia's come out recently with a few changes, but it's not near enough.
No.
And I don't think anything she's done is going to really fix anything. They need a complete overhaul.
Yes.
They need to tell these judges and magistrates, instead of saying, oh, we've extended the maximums now, so instead of 7-year maximums, it's 10-year.
Yes.
Who cares? The magistrates aren't giving the maximums. They're giving,
exactly.
Extend the minimums. Say the minimum is now no longer a slap on the wrist with a wet piece of lettuce.
Yes.
The minimum is 2 years on Petford Farm.
Exactly.
Or somewhere else, you know, and let's get some relocation sentencing. Mm. Yeah, whatever it is. So I get fired up because I've got little kids. The principals have little kids running around and living in these places, you know, and we all do.
Mm.
We all live here. We all have kids here. We all see the problem.
Mm.
And nothing's been done about it. And who do we hold accountable, you know? Because, I don't know, every election, the same people seem to get back in at the state level.
Mm.
And it's at the state level this needs to be fixed because we're hamstrung too. I get calls, council, what can you do? I'm going to have a community meeting.
Mm.
But council can't do anything in this space.
Yes.
We can put a security guard at your library. Mm. And what message does that send to the community?
Mm, exactly. The voice of common sense. Appreciate this today, Brett. Thank you.
No worries. You have a great week.
That's Councillor Brett Olds. He's the Division 9 Councillor, Cairns Council.